203-733. Ah, damn. 2970.
There was a Hollywood Bowl where that incident occurred. Northeast, 41st and 42nd.
Listen now, we've got this from Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Nobu.
Aaron Geek in the City says, damn you freaking kids. Your 10-pin antics and subsequent arrival of over 20 cops kept my geeky ass up till 3 a.m. There was one consolation prize. A nitwit in a Chevy Blazer didn't think the cop who was directing traffic wasn't serious when he commanded quite loudly, ma'am, turn around now or you will be tased and arrested. Guess being white in an SUV only buys you a pass when there isn't a riot happening 20 yards away. Good times. Signed, Aaron Geek.
Hold me.
In the city.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
You think that person would have learned after the skating rink incident? You don't want young kids in your place of business.
Well, I didn't...
They belong locked up at least till they're 21. And repressive boarding schools where they're free to do anything.
Well, you can make the lower classmen dress as girls.
Mm-hmm.
How can all three of us have such affection for our dogs but not want little humans?
Man, because we all... Well, how many... You only have one sibling.
Yeah.
See, you're Catholic, though. Why don't you have like 50 kids in your family?
Well, my parents didn't start, my mom didn't have me till she was 30.
Really?
Yeah, they waited a long time.
All right, well, fair enough. My mom started, I told this story, my mom was married at like 15. First kid, it was either married at 14, kid at 15, or
no
married
way.
At 15, kid at 16. We're a sophisticated family.
Wow.
No trash in my lineage.
It's, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Five. Yeah, four brothers and a sister. Yeah.
How many do you have?
Two brothers, one sister.
Yeah, season four, yeah. So, I mean, the Catholics are just churning them out.
Four was considered ideal at one point. Then you can go over if you wanted extra.
Yeah. No,
so they won't be so lonely.
If you want bonus points. And that's totally what it is, too. It's like, they'll keep each other company. And there's really no such thing. The siblings detest each other. This fiction that showed that siblings, you know, it is possible that siblings will come to have a loving, bonded relationship when they are older, when they're adults, like 18, 19, 20, 20. Like my brother and I. And my brother James and I, because we're the only two that are even close in age. Do you realize this? Do you realize my oldest sibling is 50? Let's see. What year is this? 2006, my 70. My oldest brother is 56 years old.
That's 3 years older than my dad.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, my siblings, I've got brothers that are 56, 52, 49. My sister is 44. I'm 33 and my younger brother's 28. So there you go. And so my brother James and I, you know, it's like we don't spend all kinds of time together because he lives in Spokane and I'm not going there.
He's a bodybuilder.
Yeah, he's the Marine guy, child psychologist freak. But, you know, but growing up though, you just detest each other constantly because we're always, you know, it's like your older brother's always beating you up. You know, if you got an older, my sister used to beat me up, man. She was like 11 years, I was 5, she's 16. Man, her favorite hobby was her, that's emasculating when you're 5. You don't even know what being masculine is. You don't even know what your penis is for. Doesn't matter. You know what it is to be a man. And if you don't know what it is to be a man, it's made very clear to you what it is not to be a man. When you are 5 years old and your sister and her teenage girlfriends come over and they, you know, take turns holding you down and spitting on you. That was my sister's favorite game. Because, you know, like they would do that. Did your siblings ever did? You're older than Heather, though. So did you have like an older cousin? Anybody that beat up on you?
No.
You see, you never got this game where, and everybody out there who has an older sibling knows what I'm talking about. The game where they put you on your back, they like straddle your rib cage and like pin your shoulders with their knees, and then they dangle a big like gob of spit over your face and then like suck it back at the last moment. You know, and so it's...
But sometimes you're not so lucky.
I'm not going to simulate the sound, but it's a whole lot of dangling the spit above your face. It's so gross. It's a thing that only, like, teenage boys really, really get into. My sister, though, didn't have the dangling of the spit art, so she would just she and her friends would hold me down, and they would just, like, spit on me.
Oh.
It really is like some weird...
Do you need a hug?
It's like some bizarre thing that you picture happening in a dungeon in Germany somewhere by a guy who's, like, wearing some sort of a zip-up hood. You know what I mean? You're being tased while a guy's spitting on you and somebody else is, like, pinching your ankles with something. So, Perhaps this is an overshare. No, but so she used to just beat the snot out of me. Because
this sounds like another play.
That's what you do to younger siblings. If you have older siblings, you just destroy their stuff. That's what my younger brother did. Let me break everything that's precious to my older brother. So coming from a family of five siblings, again, four brothers and a sister, and keep in mind that, how shall I put this? What is a charitable way to... Most of my siblings are religious nitwits and nutcases. And so they've all got like 80 kids. Like my oldest brother, the 56-year-old brother I'm talking about, he's got three kids. They've all got like 10 kids each because they're crazy. My sister is cranked out the kids. They're all just completely unhinged. So the point is, I got like, I don't know, probably... This is how bad it is. I've actually lost track. I don't even know how many nieces and nephews I have. But I got like, I think like six of each or something. And then like they've all got kids. So my point is there is no shortage of kids in my family. And every holiday, every Christmas, every New Year's, you go there and it's like... And I know you're supposed to embrace children as part of, like, your greatest natural resource and the fresh face of tomorrow. And, you know, teach them well and let them show the way. But they're just awful, terrible little germ-laden destruction machines.
I just don't want a little thing growing inside of me. That just, it really grosses me out to think about it.
It's not the growing inside of you. It's the coming out alien style and ruining your life.
No, sir. Like, if you think about it, it's just like, you know, you're just this pod for this thing. And you just grow bigger and bigger. And you, like, house this thing. And then you pop it out. And then you have to take care of it your whole life. No thanks.
You're like one of those, you'd be like one of those fire ants that has that fly grow inside its head. Oh. And then, like, pops out of its forehead. It's exactly what it would be like, except it's a baby. And then you have
to
pay.
And then
they call you Stretch. And then they have to pay. And then you have to pay $300,000 to raise it. And to try to keep it off the street so it's not smashing my windows late at night, little bastards. So we're not a kid having people.
I just got an invitation to a birthday party that said, bring the two-legged little ones, not the four-legged. So I can't bring my dog, but they're going to be children running amok.
That's a great thing.
Good.
Dog, you can tie that dog up. Dog gets out of, you know what, my dog gets uppity with me. We got an office with a door for a reason. You just toss the dog in the office, shut the door, and say, I'm going to come back in half an hour. Maybe you'll be better behaved. You can't do that with a child. Do that with a child. They come and club you, and then our show talks about you and says that you ought to be locked away. You can't do that. Dog, man, the dog gets his time in the bedroom. So, there you go.
What were we even talking about?
I don't know. I have no idea what we were talking about. I have no idea what we were doing.
It'll make a great play.
I think Rick just kind of unloaded some of his
childhood
secrets.
It's not like I got a lot of childhood trauma or anything, but I'm saying you all who have a lot of siblings know this, that siblings are cruel to each other. I mean, it's a whole... Because parents in their head always forget what it was like to be a sibling. Like, parents in their head view babies who were born like a year or two apart... Like it's a Disney, like it's that, what is it, that Milo and Otis film about the dog and the cat that go on a cross-country adventure and solve crimes? Parents think that their kids are going to be just like the little tiny sitcom kids in their head. It's never that way. Especially two sisters. God damn, man. You and Heather probably went through, you probably had big knockdown hair pulling.
Hated each other.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely hated each other. And then when we had to share a car in high school, it got even worse.
How old is she?
She's a year and a half younger than me.
Oh, that must have sucked because she was like 15 and a half, 16. You were 17 and a half.
Yeah, so she totally resented me because I'd take the car from her all the time.
Yeah, totally, because you're the older sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we didn't really get along until I went to college.
Gets out of line, you burn her with a curling iron. Yeah. No, my mom actually to this day... more of my mom's cultured and sophisticated people. My mom to this day has a scar on her left arm blah, blah, blah. You know, she grew up kind of poor. She grew up in this, she spent a lot of her time in Mount Angel and then in, like Malala, like where Mike Everhart lives. But you know, they were not a lot of money, but they had this old school iron. It was not an electric iron. It was like the kind of iron that you heat it on the wood burning stove. And so it was like an iron. It was like a big piece of, well, iron, I guess, with a handle. And you would just heat it on the stove. And then like when it was hot, that's what you'd take into your, anyway, so she and my aunt who then grew up to have a massive, gigantic collection of Avon Elvis decanters. They were all Elvis's head and they held like this cheap perfume that also functioned as like a mosquito repellent. So they're sitting there in the kitchen. They're fighting over a boy, of course, because that's what sisters do. They're fighting over a boy. And my aunt figures in her head that, like, the way to just end this, the way to skip to the bottom of the page and just end the argument is to just take the iron and right down on my mom's arm. Right there. He's my boyfriend. Iron on your arm. Oh, so to this day, my mom's got, like, the weird, like, half moon, like, iron shape on her arm where my aunt just decided to burn her flesh with the iron.
Yeah, older people always have burn stories. My dad was telling me about the story during the Depression. They had this real Aunt Jemima coming around to different stores making pancakes. So my dad, starving to death, tried to grab one, and Aunt Jemima took his hand and put it on the hot grill, and he would never eat another Aunt Jemima pancake again. And cursed Aunt Jemima for the rest of his life.
Cursed Aunt Jemima for the rest of his life.
Maybe I shouldn't have shared that story.
No, that's the best story ever. That story will never be topped. We should just quit right now. They should just replace us with, like, the Doug Stephan show right now. Just roll out that hideous Lionel show from WR right now. Just take our place. We've peaked. That's it. We got nothing. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We should break now.
Any other old family stories you want to tell?
And you notice, too, that when it comes to a certain generation and sometimes certain cultures, things that would normally get your ass arrested and thrown in jail, they all become quaint. You know what I mean? They all become charming. And then he held me down and he beat me with a belt until my teeth fell out. Oh, Dad. You know, they take on this sort of veneer of charm. All right. Hey, I got this thing later about a guy hiding things in rolls of fat. And so forth. I got this story. Guy was in a horrific car accident, and then while he was crawling to safety, stung by thousands of bees. It's all on the way. 503-733-2970. This is a band called Chicks Dig It. We'll be back after this. It's AM 1170 Solid State Radio. All right, 503-733-2970. We've got, I think, that Connie Chung audio coming up. This is from a program that I didn't even know existed. Perhaps this is why it's been canceled. Connie Chung and husband Maury Povich's show has been canceled. Who told them that it was a good idea to do a show together? Here's the thing about that couple. Is I kind of like Maury Povich. I mean, I don't really know much about him. He seems like a good guy. He seems like a guy who's just at peace with what he does. Maury Povich doesn't seem to have any pretensions about his station in life. Because Maury Povich, for the longest time, if I'm remembering this correctly, he was the host of A Current Affair, kind of back in the day. Connie Chung does something or other. Does she do the evening news somewhere?
I thought she did in, like, the 80s. Does she still?
I don't know. Tim would know, but Tim's busy looking at the alligator story for Criswell. All right, so coming up later on, we will be talking to a man named Criswell about alligators in the Columbia River. We've also got Ed McCarthy coming up in just a few from New Orleans, where apparently everything is just continuing to go. I don't know whether it's started to go badly again or whether it's just been going badly all this time. Jim Roop later on as well. And plus, well, I don't even want to get started on the thing about your friend.
Well, we could start it. I mean, there's not much to say.
Look. No. Because here's the thing. It's 1:07. No.
Should we read a quote from the Starbucks?
Let's read a little bit from the, because if I start talking about the other thing, I'm going to get sidetracked. We're never going to get anything else done. So let me read the, hold on. Stop. I'm sorry. I muted my computer while I was looking at this Connie Chung thing. Which I haven't heard, by the way, but I've heard it's terrible. Where's the, and with the whole. Now, damn it. All right. We've got this. Thank you.
Starbucks.
Except I shouldn't even be playing this, but I should be playing the one that actually, because I think this cuts off right before the Green Apron Book segment. Wait, hold on. No, stop. No, with the.
Thank God.
All right, now. Okay, now you may remember Of course you remember. We've played it 1,000 times. You have heard this Starbucks corporate pride song. And it contains this phrase that was mysterious. It's like when you're studying some sort of alien language and you lack a Rosetta Stone with which to understand it. They made the most mysterious reference in this Starbucks pride song to... And it was a line that haunted me like a Zen koan. It didn't make any sense. It was this line that it sounded like such fundamental gibberish that I thought it might actually be wise somehow. And it was the phrase, living the ways of being in the Green Apron Book.
Rest at this place.
It's coming up here in a second.
Say you don't know how we grew to this kind of place. Knee deep in the mocha. Making coffee right.
I want to find the guy who's forced
so
to sing this.
Many partners.
Working late at night. I know it. Word for wait, here we go.
Living the ways of being.
Right here. All right, now I have no idea what the Green Apron Book. Start off. You know, can I just tell you this? If you were to rank all the emails I get every day now by subject, leading the pack is the mystery noise. But a close second right there is that Starbucks song, which is apparently haunting people's dreams. I've apparently disrupted the lives of listeners by this because they can't get it out of their head. It's there. So, this is a completely true story. And I pledge on all that is holy to us here. I pledge on the right across his posterior sound effect. I pledge on all that we have here. I pledge on the spirits of those people who took part in the coffee cup crusade. That this is what happened. I was walking out on Powell. Because there's that Safeway there. And there's like 40th and Powell, there's that sidewalk. Now, there is a Starbucks inside that Safeway, so that probably explains it. But still, laying on the sidewalk, I found, right here, a copy of the Green Apron Book. Now, now your time at Starbucks, did you ever see this?
No, we didn't have the Green Apron Book. It was called the Passport.
Oh, see, and the Passport's like a coupon book, though, isn't it?
No.
That looks like a passport.
I don't know what it is. So you didn't get to... Is this like Scientology where you had to pay like...
No, but it wasn't.
You weren't to OT9 or whatever where you got to see this?
No, there weren't. Yeah, maybe that's like a manager.
You weren't Starbucks clear?
You know what? The Green Apron Book is mentioned in the management seminar.
Is it mentioned as like a mysterious... It's mentioned as like a mysterious thing?
Maybe we're not supposed to be reading it.
It's only you can miss it. This is privileged information right here. All right. We'll read from that here in just a moment. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the dirty and apparently violent South... CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in Atlanta. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. How are you?
I'm fine. Have you been shot at today yet?
No, not yet. No.
All right, well.
I'm actually in good shape because I'm back in Atlanta. So, the odds are a little less that I'm going to get shot, but not by much.
Still not non-existent. Is this another one of those days where you're just doing this report from home?
No, this is one of those days that I'm doing the report on the road where I possibly could get shot.
When you call in here, you are usually either like sitting with your feet up on your coffee table, or you are on the road being cut off rudely by someone.
Right, that would be a normal day when I'm home, but I had a long day today, so I'm doing this on the rebound here as I'm headed to the Hacienda.
Let me ask you this. What is wrong with the people in New Orleans? I know that the hurricane came in and destroyed everything and things went all badly, but that was some time ago. Now, I understand that not everything is back to normal. The town is still very troubled and whatnot, but why were 6 people killed this week? I don't mean to sound flip about this, but what is going on down there?
They've had 53, apparently, in the past 6 months. So the crime rate has definitely gone up. It's not a city that's been completely safe from the get-go. I mean, I got to be honest with you. We've talked about this before, but Katrina kind of took the big Band-Aid off the wound, and all the pus started rising to the top. They've had some problems there before, and they pretty much kind of low-key it because they don't want to lose the tourism.
Right.
They try to keep them out of the French Quarter, but they've had problems with stabbings in the French Quarter recently. These guys were brutally killed with an assault weapon. So it's something that the drug guys are apparently are heading back now. They're thinking, well, hey, there's plenty of room for me now. I'm going to go back.
So this has been the case for a long time, and we just sort of didn't. So we were all just so blinded by the specter of Mardi Gras and Anne Rice that we didn't really notice it.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody was saying, they need a Mardi Gras to get back. Good psychological lift. But in the meantime. Apparently the guys that they tried to get rid of, and I've heard some stories down there about getting rid of a lot of them for good. But those stories you cannot confirm.
Maybe it's time to just wall off the city and just sort of leave all of those guys inside. Just make it a kind of escape from New York kind of a thing. Just put up a big fence and call it good.
I'll tell you, these are the guys that were shooting at the helicopter when they were trying to evacuate them from the Superdome. You know, I mean, they're back now. And finally, because New Orleans is still under a state of emergency, the mayor asked the governor to get troops down there. He said, sure, no problem. They're going to have 100 in there to start with. They're going to be up to 300 in another week, and they've got about 60 Louisiana State Patrol down there. Of course, they're always down there for the big events like Mardi Gras and everything else, too. So,
well, you're saying we have six people killed this last weekend, and how many over the last 6 months? 53?
53 at least, yeah.
Well, it's like Baghdad.
I was just going to say, something is really wrong when you're skimming the story and you can't really tell if it comes from Iraq or New Orleans.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Maybe the mayor needs to be removed by the military.
I was going to say, it doesn't really sound like he's cleaning things up, although he's probably overmatched at this point anyway. He's probably, I mean, what have they got in terms of resources down there even?
Well, they're down about 200 cops or 300 cops that they need to hire and get back. I mean, a lot of them were either, you know, dismissed, thrown out of there, or they, left on their own. So
cops who just said, screw this, I'm done.
Yeah, well, yeah, and some of them had some issues, too. Some of them they caught shoplifting. Some of them they caught driving off with Cadillacs, you know. So they were raiding the Cadillac dealership down there. So it's a mess down there. I mean, it's kind of like a little bit like martial law. When I was down there and saw the National Guard, I actually saw a guy down there by the park down there, and he had a mask on, one of those black masks. He was a sniper shooter, you know, one of those... military sniper experts.
Right.
I'm thinking this is crazy. You just don't want to be there.
No, I can imagine. Hey, let's shift gears here for just a second and talk about this. I just got the afternoon update because it's come to our attention that the morning update that we get from our good friend Laura Caviezel at CNN is often completely and wholly out of date and pointless. So I've now taken the. It's not an indictment of you, of course. We know that you do the best you can. I just checked my afternoon update, and apparently, Dan Rather was just sort of hanging around the lobby of CBS all this time, still employed. I guess they finally kicked him out today. What was Dan Rather? They claim he was on CNN, but I don't think I've ever, or on 60 Minutes. I don't think I've seen him on there. What has he been doing?
They said he hasn't been doing much. They said, well, they haven't really been, he said they haven't been paying much attention to him, but, you know, he's been there 44 years. I'm sure he got some kind of a little settlement package. You know, the guy is 74 years old. So, you know, I'm sure he's not suffering for money. But, you know, at that point with these guys, when it becomes an ego, I guess they want to keep going. So we'll have to see what his options are, what he's going to be doing.
It doesn't really seem like Dan Rather's going to hold it. He did not really leave under the best of... there was a bit of a cloud when he left. But I just... this interesting thing of apparently he's just been sort of there, but I can't imagine who's going to be picking him up at this point.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, he had an illustrious career. You look back at his resume and all the things he's done. I mean, the guy's done tremendous work. But, you know, it's always in this business, it's what have you done for me lately?
Sure. That's...
And lately was that story on Bush, and, you know, they found out they had bad sources on that story. So, you know, he took the fall.
Well, and there's so many people who have just been waiting, like my in-laws, for example, who've been waiting just their whole lives to take a hatchet to that guy. And I don't have any problem with Dan Rather. They've done anything to me. And I never thought that Dan Rather was overtly biased or certainly didn't do a disservice to the news most of the time. But I know there's a whole bunch of people in this country who just waited for that guy to fall. I mean, they couldn't wait.
Yeah, you're right. A lot of people didn't like him. And, you know, there it is. I mean, he hung on for a long, long time.
No, it's true. All right, my friend. Well, try to avoid being maimed or killed in any fashion today.
I will, Rick.
All right, there you go. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy there on the road in Atlanta. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I'm just going to read this story. Dateline, Omaha, Nebraska. You know, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read you the story, and then we'll see if you can figure out. This is a little test here to see if you, too, could write for... if you too could write for WYFF in Omaha. So, the headline is Police Find Marijuana in Fold of Fat. From WYFF, Omaha. I'm skipping the slug here, the lead sentence. Blah, 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 blah. Police in Omaha, Nebraska report finding a man's pot stash hidden in a roll of stomach fat. Sorry. Officers said they stopped the 5'8", 250-pound man because his car was blocking traffic. When an officer smelled marijuana, he searched the man. That had to be a fun job. Do you suppose the guy was even wearing a shirt? I mean, because if he's wearing a shirt, you can... Okay, I mean, there's really no good answer here. A, if he's not wearing a shirt, then you got a 250-pound, 5'8" guy who's, you know, in a car sweating, not wearing a shirt.
Looks like an orangutan.
Or just looks like... Or just looks like, you know, like a big thing of shaving cream that's just been dispensed onto the bathroom counter, is like folding down on itself. And if he is wearing, like, probably some roomy kind of tank top, then you've got to be that cop that asks him to either take it off or you got to, like, reach underneath it and start, like, feeling around. They searched the man and found a baggie of weed hidden in a fat fold. So while we go to the city desk here, I'm going to ask you to come up with this. What is the lead-off sentence in this story? Police find marijuana in fold of fat, and then they say, police in Omaha, Nebraska report finding a man's pot stash hidden in a roll of stomach fat. What is the unforgivable pun used in the opening sentence here? It's 503-733-2970. You win nothing except for the knowledge that you, too, could write for WYFF in Omaha. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Tim Riley reporting. Clackamas County's going to keep a closer watch on its internet use by its employees. County commissioners agreed to spend $21,000 on a system that'll block certain websites. It'll also track how much time employees spend on the internet and how many times they try to access blocked sites like pornography or online gambling.
Or this site, by the way, which is blocked because of, quote, graphic and... No, not graphic. This site is blocked. Is this Multnomah County?
This is Clackamas County.
Okay, well, Multnomah County blocks this site because of, and I'm quoting now, gruesome and morbid content. So there you go. I know that many Multnomah County employees, some of them mysteriously are able to access it, and some of them are not. I know there's some sort of a caste system at work there.
You can do it through my site.
There you go. Right there. This is Tim Riley. Does it open up in the same window? Or?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, there you go. So TimRileyMedia.com.
Yep. The decision comes the same day. The Oregon Department of Revenue said the names, addresses, and Social Security numbers of 2,200 taxpayers might have been stolen because a state worker was surfing for porn. The worker was fired after it was learned the porn site loaded a Trojan horse program on a state computer to secretly capture and transmit information. Well, the presidential election 2 years away, a CNN poll suggests nearly half Americans would definitely not vote for Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I know this. Man, okay, you got to hold me back, because otherwise I'll just go on and on and on about this.
Among the Republicans, Senator John McCain of Arizona and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani fared better than Democrats, and Florida Governor Jeb Bush fared worse, but it doesn't matter. Only 30%...
Clearly nothing really matters anymore. Doesn't... I've long since passed the point of believing that my vote matters or changes anything or has any effect on the outcome.
No, I mean, the two parties are actually the same party.
You know what it is?
Only one party admits they're mean, the other doesn't.
Democrats are on the inside, what Republicans are on the outside. You know, let me just tell you this, kids. You go to those indoctrinal centers they call schools, and they will tell you things like, we live in a representative democracy.
Everybody's treated the same.
Everybody can grow up to be president. Mm-hmm. Everybody's equal under the law. We live in a republic. None of these things are true. It's all bupkis. It is all a lie. It is all a facade created to bend your will and break you to the spirit of your corporate masters. So let me just tell you this. When you go out and you pull the lever in that ballot box, do you ever stand there in an elevator trying to get the door to shut and you press the button, doesn't do anything? Same thing. There you go. It's like when you're standing at a crosswalk at 5:15 p.m. and you need to get across the street to catch the bus and you're pressing the give me the walk signal button, disconnected. Wires go to nothing. Accomplishes bupkis.
Oh, when you put that level in the voting booth, you're actually shredding something.
Seriously, it doesn't matter. It's like at the gas station. All of those pumps come from one big tank of gas underneath the ground. There is no high octane.
One doesn't give your car extra energy.
It gives your car nothing. It does nothing except take extra cash out of your wallet. I'm telling you that right. I don't care what they claim. I don't care what they're going to purport. I don't care who tests what. All the gas is the same. So when you go to that ballot and you pull the lever, it's voting for Jeb Bush no matter what you... But it doesn't matter. You can push all the buttons at once. You can push nothing. You can probably just walk by the voting booth and sort of toss it a glance and it'll vote for Jeb Bush.
I'll give it a wink.
You know that it's true.
Let's see, only 30% said they would definitely not vote for Giuliani. 34% said that for McCain, but none of this actually happened.
It doesn't matter, because Jeb Bush will probably end up running. And people who said they want to vote for McCain don't even really know why. They just sort of know that he was in a POW camp and he looks like a tough guy. That's it. Nobody really knows anything about him. Doesn't matter to me. As the woman says in the George Thorogood song, doesn't matter to me as long as I get to vote for Hillary Clinton. That's all that matters.
And now a little bit from the Neanderthals, I mean the hard workers at the Pentagon. Classifying documents declassifying homosexuality as a mental disorder decades after mental health experts abandoned that position. The documents outline retirement and other discharge policies for service members with physical disabilities, and in a section on defects that lists homosexuality among mental retardation and personality disorders.
Usually caused by a small demon or gnome that lives inside your head.
Mm-hmm. Critics said the reference underscores the Pentagon's failing policies on gays and adds to a culture that has created uncertainty and insecurity among the treatment of homosexual service members, leading to anti-gay harassment.
Good to see that the Pentagon has stepped into the 1940s. This is like when I went to school, and I don't know about y'all, but I went to a Catholic school, which is, even though we paid tuition, it was still underfunded because, you know, you get money from the state or whatever. And I remember going to, and this was 1979. I remember going to Catholic school, and our textbooks claimed that we hadn't been to the moon. I remember sitting there in science class reading textbooks in like 1979, 1980. Like, someday, you know, man may go, the odds are slim, but perhaps man will go to the moon. That's where the Pentagon is pulling these same documents. Freaking the American Psychiatric Association, like 60 years ago that they declassified, they said it took all that stuff out of that classification. So you can just, you take all this, you dovetail it back to what Bill Frist was saying last hour and realize that, there you go. When you, they take that 15% out of your, it's clearly not going to have any kind of actual research or knowledge done for anything.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Democracy on the Mic.
Here's your, thank you. Here's your Democracy on the March for Tuesday.
At Starbucks headquarters in Seattle, a group of company executives meet regularly, not to discuss new items on the menu or what marketing campaign should be adopted. Instead, the topic of conversation is China. Although China accounted for less than 10% of Starbucks' $6.4 billion global sales, apparently the company will soon become the firm's largest market outside of North America. Since the first Starbucks opened in the Chinese mainland of Beijing in 1999, Starbucks has become one of the most popular brands among the Chinese white-collar workers.
What's become one of the most popular brands?
Starbucks.
Thank you.
Starbucks in Beijing has maintained an annual growth of over 30% in recent years. Starbucks in Shanghai started to make a profit in the second year after the first store opened in that city.
What in Shanghai?
Starbucks.
We built this Starbucks!
Its net profit reached 32 million yen, about 4 million U.S. But it's up to a good start for Starbucks' long-term expansion plans in China.
For who?
Starbucks.
We built this Starbucks!
Okay.
A more challenging task is to grow even faster in what is potentially the company's largest overseas market in China.
In China?
Mm-hmm. In China.
Thank you.
I take that's for vanilla latte.
Okay, there's your Democracy on the, there you go. Thank you. Okay, on hold, we've got a guy named DJ and a guy named CJ. Who should we take first? Let's take DJ first. Let's see. Hi, DJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
What's up, brother?
Hey, don't drop me after I give you my headline.
Okay.
I think I know the mystery sound.
This is the headline for, this is Scotty. Did you tell Scotty with the mystery sound what you thought it was?
No, I didn't.
All right. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Don't go in here. I'm not dropping you here. I'm going to put you on hold. Now, Scotty, you want to pick DJ up and see what his guess is. And then you just give me like a yes or a no on the screen here. I'm just curious. I like to know what I'm walking into.
You just want to milk the sound for
I do. Yeah. No, because the mystery sound has become... Because do you realize that when someone finally guesses it, it's going to be like a national holiday? It's going to be like that thing at the mall where the guy turns the key that wins him the new Chrysler and balloons
fall. When they choose the American Idol.
Yes.
That's exactly. All the confetti falls down.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. So this is the story that was from WYFF in Omaha. Police find marijuana in fold of fat. What is the unforgivable pun they use in the opening sentence?
It gives new meaning to rolling a doobie.
No. No, that's good, though. That's not bad. That's I said that's in the B pile, but that's okay. That's passable. All right. I'm sorry. What?
What was I said any of I might think of that.
No, that's good. Okay, what is your guess on the mystery sound?
I can't believe I'm wrong. I thought it was the spinner from the Game of Life.
Okay, Scotty, you're not supposed to tell them that they're wrong. You're supposed to find it. Okay. No, Scotty, just when someone calls in, I hate to have to do this on the air, when someone calls in, you're supposed to be passive. You're supposed to give a completely neutral facade. So when someone says, my guess is it's that little clangy thing at the bottom of the door, it keeps them hitting the wall, and you just say, that's an interesting... Here's what you're supposed to say. Tim, what would you say when someone called in and requested a song that you clearly weren't going to play, but like all music radio stations, you wanted to give them the false hope that you were going to play their request?
I put you on my list.
Sarah?
We'll try to get that on for you.
Yeah, there you go. Both of those will work. Yes, you say, hey, that's great. I'll try to get to it. Thank you.
We just played it last song.
Thank you for
coming up another hour and a half.
All the music is selected for the next day. It's not coming up. Okay, so this is... So, Scotty, when somebody calls in, you should say, that's a great guess. Hey, we'll get you on the air. Thank you. All right, and so your guess is what? Well, no, your guess is wrong.
Yeah, I'm crushed, but I'll get over it.
Okay, thanks. Okay,
thank you.
There you go. Thank you. All right, sizzle chest. All right. Oh my lord!
I found one without a watermark.
That's the worst picture of Nicole Kidman I've ever seen. Her face looks like I got put in some kind of pressing machine. Oh no! Oh, she's Liz Wilde now. Oh, that's no good. Tell me that's not Liz Wilde.
I don't know what she looks like.
Oh, well, picture that.
Tim, do you know what Liz Wilde looks like?
No, I don't think she ever stayed long enough to get a picture taken.
while they were finding the camera.
Yeah.
Hold on, Liz. Stay here with your national radio show. We're going to get a camera. Where did... Oh, crap. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Marv, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, Marv?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Marv.
Hey, I got a guest for the pun and the article about the guy with the weed.
All right, the article is police find marijuana in fold of fat. What is the unforgivable pun they use?
I guess this guy must have had a pot belly.
There you go. Fantastic. Well done. That's exactly what it is. All right. Well, does it make you feel you could go to work for WYFF in Omaha, Nebraska?
Well, there you go.
All right. Thank you, Marv.
Great to have you back, Rick.
Right, thank you. I appreciate that. Spread the word.
All right.
All right. There you go. Thank you. That is an awful picture of Nicole Kidman. She really does look like, first of all, looks like fake Barbie hair. Remember when she used to be the hottest thing on earth?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know that I was really, like, turned on by her as such, but I recognized the fact. She was always a little too much of a porcelain doll for me, a little too perfect. But I remember seeing Nicole Kidman in, is this at your site, by the way?
It is.
SarahXDillon.com. SarahXDillon.com, where Sarah has developed her own niche, which is the unflattering pictures of celebrities, which is fantastic. My wife goes to your site constantly, every day.
It's terrible when I describe what I do.
No, it is. It's awful and petty and mean-spirited, and we like it. I remember seeing Nicole Kidman in My Life with Queen Latifah and Michael Keaton, and she was just the hottest thing that had ever left me. She was almost distractingly perfect. And those days have passed now.
Can I post the extra huge jumbo version of it?
Yes. Okay. Yes, the extra what?
The extra huge jumbo version.
I'm huge!
All right. That's brand new. Right there.
I like that.
All right, see, that's what I'm talking about. Little Joel there.
I'm huge!
I couldn't find Tom Servo saying it. It's 503-733-2. See, now we're getting nothing, but you realize we're going to have to do a whole day of just the mystery sound. Because it's become this inverted pyramid where there's just all of this huge buildup and this whole thing. God, could that photo be any bigger? Oh, that's such a terrible picture of her. All right.
Oh, where'd the rest of them go?
Okay. All right. Okay. Scotty's saying, I have to tell all of these guys nice guess. All right. Here's what we've got. Are we in the news segment here?
I think we are.
All right. We'll do another one of those.
We're going to talk about Lisa, too.
We've got all of these calls to get to. All of them about the mystery sound, by the way. I've got this whole segment. I can do this tomorrow. News That Hurts. I can do that tomorrow. I've got the Green Apron book. We've got to talk about Lisa. We've got to stop her before it's too late. You can't go ruining something that's beautiful like that. That's all I'm saying, Lisa. We'll talk about that. Let me read a couple of these emails. Rick, I'm not being hyperbolic here. I'm not exaggerating for comedic effect. But I have literally had that Starbucks song in my head since the day you started playing it.
We built this Starbucks!
It is literally in every dream I have. Sometimes my dream is just the song playing. Other times it's in the background of my dream. I wake up at 3 a.m. with Living the Ways of Being in the Green Apron book and Knee Deep in the Mocha going through my head. I am beginning to hate my life. I am beginning to hate you for introducing that aural evil and that mystery sound. There you go. Then we've got that. What else? Did I hear the guy who owns a poodle whining about his sister emasculating him? Ha ha ha. Let's see. We should clarify because we were unfairly slandering the riot was at the Hollywood Bowl. Powell, though, that's the Pro 300. They are still open for business.
Yes.
Also, the bowling gallery, the downtown with the mural and the tile.
The Grand Central.
The Grand Central has been purchased by Concept Entertainment, who we love, the owners of the Barracuda and other fine establishments. They are refurbishing that.
Oh, good.
No, which is good. That's the only place I've ever been.
You know,
here.
Like the one on Powell, the scary one, because it is scary because I did literally see someone's windows get smashed out there. So it is a little freaky after dark, but it's a really nice bowling establishment. Good bar.
And this, Rick. Fun with Art Alexakis, says this email. I just don't know. Rick, I work with a guy who, for some reason, has art over each year for Christmas dinner. What is that? Why would you say, oh? Who are you owing for? The guy?
Just some random guy. Like, art goes to some random guy's house every year for Christmas?
I don't know that it's... I don't... Yes, and then the church comes by and they drop off a bag of groceries.
Here's a fruitcake.
And then he has to sleep on Angela Chase's couch with Ricky. Anyway... One year, I requested that my coworker ask Art why all of his songs sound like da-da-da, yeah-yeah, whoa-whoa, yeah-yeah. I'm not sure if this is true, but apparently the response was, F you. It's Gerald in Portland. We're just passing that along. I'm not claiming that that's true. All right. I have an email from that woman who placed the Brady Bunch bet last week using the intimate act as a bet. I'll talk about that later. Got all of these calls. You missed that, too.
Yeah.
A woman called up, and she and her husband were betting a sort of intimate...
Brady Bunch?
When a man and a woman hug each other in a special way, sometimes a very special way that women resist, and they were betting that kind of hug. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That's, and using only one finger and and her other hand, Sarah was able to discern, yes, you cracked my code. They were betting, I swear to God, they were using, like, hey, you know how you, well, you know, Sarah, how you and I bet with push-ups?
Oh.
This is sort of like a push-up. But they were betting over a Brady Bunch trivia question. She sent me a long explanation about the,
Did she lose?
What's the thought? Yeah, she, it's all very, Tim, why don't you do one more and then we'll take these calls.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, those who plan to shoot a hostage scene might want to make it obvious to everyone around them that it's a simulation and not the real deal.
Okay.
That may be a lesson that an independent film crew learned over the weekend in Larimar County, Colorado. Deputies swarmed them during a shoot of a low-budget motion picture. 12 Dancing Monkey Films was at a campground near Lake Carter shooting a scene where the lead actor takes a girl hostage and beats up a Good Samaritan. It happened very suddenly. Then we heard freeze, said the director. We were in the middle of the scene when a team of county sheriff's deputies ran over, shouting orders to get on the ground, pointing M16 semi-automatics at the crew. They kept telling me the whole time, we're going to shoot you, we're going to shoot you, we're going to send round your way. Well, they were kept and held on the ground until the situation was sorted out. Even though crew members tried to explain to the deputies, this is only a movie. The officers told them to shut up when they interviewed the victims. They also tested the fake blood that was on a stunt car. The whole episode lasted about 30 minutes. The crew was released. They believe the only reason why the deputies didn't shoot them is because they saw a cameraman.
Good time. By the way, apparently Michael Ian Black, how long did he get right back to you about on your MySpace?
No, it took about like 3 hours.
Did he agree to? So sad. Did you? He's in Manhattan. Yeah. He shouldn't be getting back to you in three. Did he agree to come on the show?
I can read you his emails.
This was our litmus test for whether he had a job or not. Sarah ran into Michael Ian Black when she was in Manhattan last week. She's been MySpacing him, and our litmus test for whether he was employed was to ask whether he would come on the show for no reason.
And so, yeah, so now I asked him if he wanted to come on and whore anything, and he said now he's just finishing up filming a movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, an independent film. All right.
He didn't sound very enthused. He's like, yeah, I guess so. Sure, I guess, but I don't have anything to promote at the moment. I'm finishing a movie. When the time comes to promote it, I'd be happy to be on your show. At the moment, all I have to promote is myself, which is not that interesting.
Oh, that's sad.
I know.
That's low self-esteem.
Oh, now I almost don't want to have him on. I think I might just cry a little. I just want to take him home and give him some soup.
Maybe it's a tough personal life.
He's telling me about his wife and kids.
Is he married with kids?
Kids, yeah.
I wonder if they think he has a job. I went, Daddy, where do you go every day? Daddy's going to work, son.
To
living in a cold water flat. Kids playing on a fire
escape. Daddy's going to the office downtown, clutching a briefcase containing only a bottle of bourbon. and all these mystery sound calls. Rick, let me just read this, and we'll take a break. And then here's what we're going to do. We'll read this email. We'll break. We'll get the. If you're on hold, please stay there. I know you've been there for a few, but we'll get you. We'll do these calls when we come back. We'll read a few. I'm not going to go through the whole Green Apron book today, but I think every day we should do a reading from the Green Apron book. What do you think? Every day we'll do like a page.
Yeah.
Like a little haiku.
That sounds reasonable.
And then we got to stop Sarah's friend Lisa from making a terrible mistake. Rick, subject line of this is Radio DJs 101. You talk about how requests are never played. I wish I'd known that when I was 10. I loved the song A Boy Named Sue and called my local country station and asked him to play it. I do remember him saying, quote, keep listening. We'll get it on for you. Lie. I listened. I only left the radio during commercials and only then when I had to. For hours. I must have called the guy 15 times. I hoped I made him as miserable. I think he finally played it. I hope I made him as miserable as he made me by calling mercilessly. But now I know he was probably drunk. I'm sure he's dead or unemployed by now. There you go. There you go. Thank you. All right. Well, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get these calls.
Are we doing a Starbucks one?
A Starbucks. Oh, yeah. We'll come back. We'll read a page from that.
Oh.
We'll do these calls. We'll come back. We'll read a page from the Green Apron book. We'll talk about the Lisa thing and then so forth. What else? I guess that's it. There's no point in pimping anything else. Later on, we got Likas at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry show at 7. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Stay right there.